August 31st, 1566, in bright sunshine, Queen Elizabeth I was concluding her 3-day state visit to the University of Oxford. Plays, concerts, laudatory orations in Latin and Greek packed her program. The high point of the visit, an elaborate disputatio on the celestial spheres and the ocean's tides. The star of these debates, the charismatic scholar and lecturer, Edmund Campion, known as the Flower of Oxford. Famous for his eloquence and handsome aspect, he dazzled the Queen, who graciously replied in her elegant Latin, thanking him and praising him. This triumphant day for Campion, revelatory day for the Queen, would be remembered by both to the end of their days. Born on January the 24th, 1540, Edmund Campion was the son of a London bookseller who had converted from Catholicism to Anglicanism, more, it seems, out of political expediency than spirituality. Young Campion was schooled at Christ's Hospital and came up to St. John's College, Oxford, aged 17. Throughout the Oxford colleges in the 16th century, Catholicism tended to be a matter of sentiment and loyalty rather than active spiritual life. But young Edmund Campion's study of Augustine, Aquinas, and the more recent spiritual exercises of Ignatius Loyola convinced him there was only one true Catholic and apostolic church. By 1570, his sentiments were proving a source of concern and suspicion to the authorities in Oxford and the Privy Council in London. Seeking perhaps to get away from this unwelcome attention, Campion accepted an invitation from his friend and former pupil, Richard Stanihurst, to visit Dublin. In the extensive library of Turvey House, Donabate, which was scandalously demolished by Dublin County Council in 1987, Campion wrote a charming History of Ireland and developed an affinity with St. Patrick, a fellow exile in Ireland. By this time, he had determined to embrace not only Catholicism, but the Society of Jesus, already famous for their discipline and scholarship. When his whereabouts became known to the Privy Council, he said goodbye to Turvey House and in disguise made his way through Wales and England, arriving at the English College in Douai, northern France, in 1571. There, he formally applied to join the Jesuits. He was summoned to Rome, assigned to the province of Austria, and on August the 15th, 1573, in Prague, Edmund Campion took vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. He spent 6 years in Prague, and they were, as we know from his letters, the happiest of his life. He was ordained and said his first Mass, at peace with God and the world. But in April 1580, the overzealous Cardinal William Allen, the head of the English mission, ordered him to lead a band of English Jesuit missionaries to minister the sacraments to the Catholic faithful in England. England being now in the throes of rebellions, with threats to the Queen from every quarter. Campion knew it was folly to undertake such a mission at this time. Sir Francis Walsingham, the Queen's spymaster, had saturated London and the surrounding countryside with informants, spies, and priest-hunters known as pursuivants. But in accordance with his vow of obedience, Campion landed at Dover on June the 25th, 1580. Disguised as a jewellery merchant, he remained at large, visiting over 50 Catholic houses the first 3 months of his arrival. He travelled throughout the English counties, preaching, saying Mass, hearing confessions. But on July the 20th, 1581, while saying Mass at Lifford Grange in Berkshire, he was betrayed by a particularly loathsome pursuivant, one George Eliot. Walsingham had agreed to drop all charges against this reprobate, charges that included theft, rape, and attempted murder, if he should find Campion. Eliot sneaked into Lifford Grange, saw Campion saying Mass, and rushed out to alert the sheriff. Said to have been dignified under arrest, Campion was brought to the Tower of London and for 4 months was subjected to the horrific tortures of the rack and constant interrogations. During these public disputations, in spite of his shocking physical state, Campion rejected all accusations of treason. he challenged and discredited the Privy Council and the English justice system. Finally, seemingly from sheer frustration, a trial date was set for November 20, 1581. Campion was so crippled from his tortures that at the required moment during his trial, his friend and fellow Jesuit, Ralph Sherwin, had to help him raise his arm and hand to plead not guilty. In spite of widespread public sympathy for Campion, many believing he had acquitted himself admirably on trial, he and seven other priests were found guilty and sentenced to be hanged, drawn, and quartered. And so at Tyburn, on a frozen winter morning, Edmund Campion was hoisted onto the scaffold. The huge crowd, so reported, was struck by the beauty of his eyes, the cheerfulness of his face, the piety of his final sermon. Amongst the crowds stood the Catholic Queen's musician, William Byrd, the Queen's cousin, Lord Charles Howard, himself a Catholic, and, it is said, a young member of a prominent Warwickshire Catholic family, visited by Campion on his travels. Campion's life and death are believed to have made a deep and lasting impression on the 17-year-old William Shakespeare. A mighty groan arose from the crowd when Campion's body dropped, the noose biting into his neck. The hangman immediately made to cut him down, but the deeply moved Lord Howard threatened the hangman with death should he touch Campion before he became unconscious and died, sparing him the horrors of drawing and quartering while he was still alive. This beloved Jesuit saint and martyr gave his life to God on December 1, 1581, the feast day of Edmund Campion.